Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1 with Allcare Pharmacy. Feel good this winter by getting the flu vaccine at Allcare Pharmacy, Ireland's largest community pharmacy network.
Email todaycb at rte.ie.
Adam Maguire is back with us, RTE business journalist, and Adam has his inflation shopping basket. We're looking at reasons behind why some of our most common grocery staples keep going up in price. And Adam, it's the turn of dairy today, isn't it?
That's right, yeah.
Cheese, milk, yogurts. We're throwing eggs in there as well, aren't we?
Yeah.
So you have an update, first of all, on inflation figures in general.
Yeah, because we had been comparing July of this year to July of 2021 to capture kind of the full extent of inflation, which, as people will know, really started to ramp up 2 years ago, more than 2 years ago now. But since we spoke last week, we've had detailed consumer price data from the Central Statistics Office for August of this year. So it means we can bring more up-to-date figures as a result. So for the sake of keeping the comparison as fair as possible, we'll stick with the same month. So we'll go August 2021 to August just gone.
Yeah.
And doing that, it actually paints a worse picture for consumer prices than was the case when we compared July and July. Overall, we have price inflation of 15.6% over the 2 years. We were talking about 15.5% when we compared July 21 to July of just gone. So slightly worse when you look at the August figures.
Okay, so that's bad news. Yeah. And now we're going to come and have a look at the dairy products. So what's happened with those prices?
Yeah, well, in that 24-month period, comparing the two Augusts, we see fairly significant price increases across a range of dairy products. And of course, you're talking about a range of products. So fresh whole milk, worst affected, prices up more than 29% in the past 2 years. Low-fat milk, interestingly, slightly less of an increase. It's still fairly high, though, 21%. So above the average, still quite high. And then most other dairy-derived prices fall somewhere in between those two. So butter prices, 25% higher in the past 2 years. Yogurt prices up more than 23%. Cheese and curd, a little bit lower, almost 20%. But again, a significant price rise over a two-year period and well above the overall rate of inflation that we've seen, which is high enough on its own right.
It's humongous. The spreadable butter that I buy used to be 2.50, and there was a sticker on it the other day telling me I should be delighted because it's 3.70 now.
Is that all?
Yeah. 3.70 is in comparison to 2.50. Ridiculous. Now, I want to talk to you about milk in particular, because we did see recently that the price of milk was coming down. One retailer did it, then everybody followed suit. Has that made a difference?
Well, it has to some extent. If you look at, say, the monthly data in August, you see milk was 0.5% cheaper than it was in July, yogurt 0.8% cheaper. But there's a caveat to those price cuts when we look at the overall picture, because most of those high profile announcements were about the own brand range. That's where the price cuts were made. Now, you'd assume the branded products would follow suit to stay competitive, but they might not have, or they might have maybe taken a little bit longer to push through price cuts of their own. But even accounting for that, what the data tells us is that while prices have fallen back from recent highs, they're still well up overall. So that example you give of your spreadable butter, they're saying, oh, it's a great deal now, but it's still more expensive than it was a year or two ago.
Not fooling me.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, we may have regained a bit of ground, but we're still way off where we were 2 years ago in terms of prices. They're still well up.
Okay, and tell me now why we should be giving out about eggs, because I give out about eggs a lot.
Yeah,
the price of them.
Yeah, prices are up 26%. So yes, more than a quarter of a price increase over the past 2 years, according to CSO. So, and I suppose just like sugar and flour that we spoke about last week, these are standard shopping basket items for most people, I would say. So it's going to affect pretty much everybody or most shoppers. And like flour and sugar, as we spoke about last week, dairy and eggs are going to appear in a lot of other products as well. So they're going to have that's going to have a knock-on effect. So, you know, baked goods, for example, pastries especially, if you've ever made pastries.
You have the buns back again.
We have lemon cake here as well. Yeah. So exactly.
So all of these things are going to be affected by what we're talking
about. Exactly, yeah. So they're affected by flour and sugar, obviously, but they're affected by dairy and eggs too. So is it like, you know, pastries like 50% butter, for example, you know, chocolate, pre-made coffee drinks, smoothies, soups, all might have dairy in them. Eggs might be, again, in cakes, in certain breads maybe. You might like pancakes or waffles for breakfast. Eggs going to be in there. And then you have sauces as well. Things like mayonnaise, obviously, you know, use eggs. So that's going to have a knock. If it's more expensive for the ingredient, then that product is going to be more expensive too.
So what is going on?
Well, when we're talking about anything really in terms of price increase, you very very quickly come back to rising energy costs. And naturally, that then brings us to the Russian invasion of Ukraine more than a year ago. Maybe more, though, than anything else, dairy and eggs are some of the products that are most affected, though, by what's happening in Ukraine at the moment. You know, we talk about our self-sufficiency in terms of, you know, we make our own. We make more than enough beef, dairy, eggs and so on. And we have great food security on paper, at least. But it's not really the case. It's a much more complicated picture.
To make that food, we're reliant in other ways.
We're very much reliant. Yeah. So you know, energy is a great example, because dairy is a very energy intensive process. You know, milking, processing, pasteurizing, storage at low temperatures, transportation, so on. A lot of energy required to do all of that. And we're not self-sufficient in terms of energy, as we know. So, you know, when you have a major shock to the system, like Russia invading Ukraine, it has a knock-on effect on our food supply. Farmers and dairy processors have been hit significantly by energy prices in the past 2 years. Now, if you look at the recent agricultural price index, so the prices, the input and output prices for agriculture, that brings us up to July. And it looks like energy prices are down. In the year, they're 13% lower. So that seems like good news. But when you compare it over 2 years, like we're doing consumer prices, you see that energy prices are still 31% higher than they were 2 years ago. So farmers, as a result, are still paying a lot more for energy than they were back in July of 2021.
There's a listener who says, "I'm delighted to see dairy going up in price. It's well overdue." That person can't be a farmer, because they would know that the farmer probably isn't getting the benefit of that price increase for the reasons that you've just explained.
Yeah, almost certainly not, because their costs have gone way up in all manner of areas, not energy being a good example of that. So it's not that this is, you know, improving their profit margin necessarily. It just means that it's going to the energy companies or to other suppliers of inputs rather than the farmers themselves.
Okay, so in order to produce the dairy, we have to feed the cow, or we have to feed the chicken when it comes to the eggs, and the cost of that feed has gone up as well.
Yeah, because it's not just energy we're talking about in terms of this. So animal feed is another area we're not self-sufficient in. Last year, actually, there was an increase in the amount of feed, like barley, wheat, maize, that was imported into the country. And we spoke last week when we were talking about flour and wheat, obviously, how important Ukraine and Russia was for grain pre-war. And of course, the supply from that region has been massively disrupted since the war broke out. So the cost of feeding the animals that produce our milk or our eggs is now higher than it was before. Again, when you look at it on an annual basis, it looks like prices have gone down. But when you look at it on a 2 year basis, prices are actually up by 31%. So another big increase in the cost over 2 years.
What about the grass-fed animals then?
Yeah, we do grow plenty of grass. We're self-sufficient in terms of grass, but the industry reliance on other countries just kind of shifts then, because then you're talking about fertilizer in order to make sure the grass is growing and you have plenty of grass over the winter and all that other stuff. Once again, Ukraine and Russia were a major source of fertilizer pre-war, and prices have jumped since the start. So according to CSO, there was actually a 44% drop in fertilizer prices in the last year, which sounds magnificent.
But again, it's off
2 years,
high base.
It's still 30%. Even after a 44% drop in the last year, it's still 30% higher compared to 2021. So again, that's another massive cost increase on agriculture, which gets passed on to the consumer.
Mm-hmm. Now, what's this other odd way that the war in Ukraine affects our dairy prices?
Yeah, this is one of the, again, one of these consequences that you wouldn't necessarily think about. It's kind of indirect, because, you know, it mentioned the disruption to grain exports in Ukraine and Russia, and that's had a real destabilizing effect on food supplies around the world, particularly to poorer countries. And as a result, you have this increased demand for alternatives. And that's not just countries that are looking for food right now that they can't get from the likes of Ukraine or Russia, but also other countries seeing the disruption to the global food supply and saying, right, we better stockpile, because we want to make sure we're not going to be affected by that. And we've seen, for example, our dairy and egg exports jump in the past 2 years, partially because of that, because we're one of the countries that they could get it from if they can't get it elsewhere. The value of Irish exports in the dairy and egg category up 14% since June 2021. Now, that is value. So some of that jump is because it costs more. But it's not just that. It's also about more demand from certain countries. So, for example, the value of dairy and egg exports to Saudi Arabia, 133% higher in the past 2 years. Other countries, which would cover a lot of, you know, smaller Asian and African countries, up 90%. And interestingly, the value of dairy and egg sales to other European countries is also well up. France, it's up 137%. Italy, it's up 186%. Belgium, up almost 69%. And that points to another interesting factor in this, is which the farmers in those countries might not have some of the kind of natural, you know, advantages in terms of climate being favourable to milk and egg production. And so they're having to spend more to produce that. Some of them are scaling back production or stopping altogether. And so they're more reliant then on Ireland, whereas they might have been able to do it themselves in the past, then they're turning to Ireland as well.
And bird flu, of course, another important factor.
Yeah, this has had a huge impact on egg producers. Ireland has actually done relatively well in terms of bird flu, certainly compared to the UK, where 4 million birds last year were culled or died as a result of the disease. And that's led to a shortage in the UK, which again means that there's demand for Irish eggs in the UK. But controlling bird flu means forcing to keep chickens indoors for periods of the year when you wouldn't have
higher
done that
costs.
Before. Higher costs again. And when you add that on to all the other extra costs around energy, fertiliser, feed and so on, that all just pushes up the price of eggs.
It doesn't ease the pain, Adam, but it does explain it.
At least understanding is half the battle, I suppose.
Poor Paul in Artane has trouble with his spreadable butter as well. He says it's still 309, the one that he uses, but the difference is, and he just noticed this, it used to be 500 milligrams, but it's now 464 or a pound. I didn't...
Shrinkflation there.
Shrinkflation. Yeah. They're doing it to everything. They get you every way, Paul. Thank you very much for getting in touch. And Adam, thanks to you, and we'll see you next week.